So today's episode is a special one. It's special for two reasons. One is because it's almost a year to the day that we recorded our first Bravery in the Boardroom podcast episode. And Liam, who you never see, who's always behind the scenes, has been with me all the way on this journey. We invited back our first guest, Emma Challens-Russell, to join us. But today, myself and Emma had a conversation and it was different because we are releasing this episode to celebrate International Women's Day and International Women's Month this year. And the theme is hashtag invest in women. And we unpack a conversation about Emma, you know, has her role as founder and director and chair of the Proud to Be Ops Network. We'll share a link that tells you more about the network if you don't know already. And also about her role also as director of Horizons. And for both myself and Emma, we had long careers in the NHS, starting off in admin and PA roles and navigating our way into board level executive director roles before both transitioning out of the NHS to follow our passions to support more leaders in leading bravely and authentically. So we wanted to unpack a conversation about what does investing in women mean to us from the perspective of our own journeys, our responsibility as senior women leaders, our responsibility as leaders and coaches, leading other leaders as well, but also that message for what is it we want to share with you as a woman who may be, you know, at the start or the middle of your career progression, and you as a woman, if you are holding space in a senior or executive role, what are we asking or what are we sharing from our conversation for you as well? And for men who are listening, I hope there's some insights in here, and I hope you see how, as women, it's important you invest in us, but it's also important that we invest in ourselves. Emma, we are back.
We are back, yes.
And I know people have heard the intro, okay, before we say anything, but when we were talking, as we always do, looking at this year's theme for International Women's Day and International Women's Month about hashtag invest in women, straight away, I thought about us having a conversation. All the things we speak about are journeys, leading, you know, leading at board level, leading across systems for people who are in the NHS. But I know we're both really passionate about supporting others to lead us who they are and to really understand what change is. Yeah. So being able to bring our two spaces together again, I was very excited.
Yeah, equally. And to believe it's a year since we had our first conversation for Bravery in the Boardroom. So yeah, it's brilliant. And it's real pleasure to be here to have this conversation today, and particularly with regards to International Women's Day. So yeah, really looking forward to it. Let's see where it goes.
Well, I mean, we were just saying before we pressed record about it starts with self. And I was saying about, gosh, it feels like it's a cliche, isn't it? When we're speaking, when I'm coaching leaders, when you're driving the Proud to Be Ops Network, it's something we speak about a lot, mindset.
Yeah. Right?
And as I said, I know it can sound cliched, but I really would like us to unpack a little bit why do we see that as important? Why do we feel that that's the place to start when you're speaking to, I mean, men and women, but women in particular, about leading and leading at a senior level? Why does leading self and mindset kick us off?
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? And I've tried to reflect going back many years. I won't dare say how many years, but really looking back of thinking about, well, how did I get from where I were to where I am now? Who helped me get there? Who didn't? What did I take self-control of, consciously or unconsciously? And where was my belief in self, and how does that relate to confidence in self? And it really started to get me to think about going back to being 16, 18 year old even. I took it upon myself then to go to night school. I learned, if anyone remembers then, CLAIT, now it's called RSA, typing. Yes, so I was there after school, on night school, doing all of that. Why did I do that? I can't really remember why, but I know I had a passion that I want to do something for myself. I want to learn. Maybe I was a bit of a sponge. So I wanted to do that. And maybe I had a belief that I could do it. So I did it. But I was on my own. There weren't anyone who I was with at school that did that.
Yeah.
And then it got me to thinking about other things. like my friend sets, good example. Most of my friends when they was 18, 21, early 20s were getting engaged, were preparing to be married, having children. I was far from it. So I look back and think, I've gone against the grain quite a bit. I've not done what might be classed as what people would stereotype as a woman in leadership. Get married, have a child, be at home, I did everything but that. And I'm not sure, did I do that consciously? Yes, I did. I do know that because when I do look back, I think, why have I always tried to be different and not go with the grain? I don't know, if I'm honest. I think there's a bit of probably my parents in that. Practically, I always remember my dad saying to me, Emma, make the most of it and live your life. And that's really stuck with me, I think. And so I think there's something about maybe he generated a belief that I could do anything if I put my hand to it.
Yes. Yes.
So there's things like that, which I think probably gave me a belief that in myself that allowed me to be more confident on trying things, doing something different. We were talking about applying for jobs. I recall if there were some job specs, I thought, I can't quite tick that, but I could probably have a go at explaining it. Because I had a belief in myself, I would go for it. And if I didn't get it, don't get me wrong, it knocked me back a lot. But, it probably rambled on there quite a bit, Monique. No. But it does go, I think as a woman in leadership now and leading nationally and in other roles, I've had to really go back to try and think about how much did I invest in myself and why?
Yeah.
Who invested in me and along the way and who didn't?
Yeah.
And what were my personal experiences as trying to grow as a leader, as a manager across the environments that I worked in?
I really hear what you've unpacked, and I know for our listeners, what you just shared there, I just want to pull out something that's really, I want to come back to who helped and who didn't.
Yeah.
But pull out there what you were saying about belief, because yes, I think it's really important to go back to where did it start from, because a lot of our listeners are on a journey. They're on they're progressing their career, they're on their journey. And whilst we all feel inspired when we hear from women who are in the boardroom like we were, how did you get there? How are you operating? How does it work? Actually, it's more relatable to be able to understand, how did you navigate? What made those decisions? What gave you the, I would say, what gave you the confidence? But you said something really important there about belief versus confidence. I know we both speak to a lot of women who lack confidence due to the environments that they're working in.
Yes,
so correct. The confidence is there, but when they're in certain environments, when they're working with certain leaders and behaviours, they know that it affects their confidence. And that what you said there about belief, I think is a really important split between the two, because I heard what you were saying before about our confidence may not always be sky high. You know, it might not be top level. You describe nerves, right? But actually, if we believe, you believe in yourself, you believe in your capability, you might not feel confident in a situation, but you feel whatever happens here, I believe I can maneuver it. I believe I can make something happen. I believe, and I just want to really harbour that, because I think it connects back to mindset. And I share a lot of what you shared there about you. I mean, I did the typing course. That's how I got my first PA job. That's how I first got into the NHS, is because, yes, I was bright, but when you leave college and when you leave uni, you haven't got any office work experience, have you? The fact that I could type 50 words a minute stood me in really good stead.
Very good stead,
In, like you said, I looked at the person's spec. Yep, I can do that, but I haven't done it, but I can do it.
Yeah.
To go for the job. And I just think it sounds simple, but it's absolutely what helped me progress and make big jumps in my career, was that if you look at this on paper, Monique, can you do it? Do you think you can do this? Do you think you could work a way out how to do it? Do you think you could bring people along?
Yeah, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, and my answer was yes. So it was then, okay, I've got to call it out in the interview that I've never done it before, but I absolutely can explain how I can see how to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important differentiation to make, because you're never, you've got to be a director to be a director. Well, you're always going to be in that loop, aren't you?
And I think you can sense that when you're interviewing, interacting with a person. You like, we've probably all interviewed in this time where we've read applications and they're outstanding, yet the person in front of you is not what you might have read on an application.
Yes.
Now, is that belief?
Yes.
Is it confidence?
Yes.
Is it that they may have highlighted areas of the application that might not be as accurate as it could be?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
So sometimes there is something about if someone comes across in a way where they've got a strong self-belief, they can practically demonstrate how they would do it, they might be just as good a candidate as this outstanding application form.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we think about women in leadership and the challenges that some women, and I'm saying some women I've also had in terms of feeling a minority, feeling like, if I could go on a program, it was a favour.
Yeah.
Done like, oh, it's a favour for me. And that sense of, well, I think you're only doing it as a favour because I'm a woman. And am I meant to be really grateful for that? So I think those different situations can change a direction for someone.
Yeah.
And I think the mindset and the self-awareness is really important, because what I've become more tuned into is recognise it in others. Is it belief? Is it confidence? And again, myself as a coach, getting underneath things a little bit more and not always taking the face value.
Yeah.
And I think in the past, we've probably been derailed and hindered by a face value or a perception, when actually it's what's within and underneath, and you need to explore that. And that's certainly what I've found. I mean, a good example is there's a lady in leadership who contacted me yesterday. Could I have a call with you this week coming up? Would you spare me 10 minutes? And actually, for me, a woman in leadership, whether she's from a black ethnic minority, white, British, it doesn't matter. It's about, actually, you trust me to have a safe conversation. I can give up 10 minutes of my day for that.
For sure.
And I think that is really, really important, and that we should all be more tuned into when a person really needs it.
Yeah.
Because if someone messages like that, they really need it. And that's a very powerful and brave step for someone to do.
You know, when you mention that, it brings me to us thinking about our roles. We're both very passionate change agents, right? We've always had that desire to be in transformation and change spaces, and then stepping into more senior roles when you're leading big teams, big programs. Yes. What you just said there is really important, because I think for leaders at any levels, knowing your support toolbox, knowing who you can call on, who's your trusted advisors, we all have those moments. You know, it can happen to you at any time. And I just want to give that message to our senior listeners today as well, that, you know, there's no slight on you when you need to call for help or you need some trusted advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to sound something out. You're not sure which way to go. You haven't got the answer, right?
Yeah.
We're on the other side of the fence, so to speak, when you've had those moments, right?
Yeah.
When you didn't learn someone, you felt frightened to admit it. And knowing that actually when I have gone to someone I trust, when you have been able to speak, talk something out and be vulnerable and be open, how it empowers you to solve that issue, but also it helped me with showing vulnerability as a senior leader myself.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about leading as who you are. We talk about authentic leadership a lot, and it is something that I am determined. I am absolutely determined that we support other leaders to do it.
Yeah.
The more people do it, the more they'll encourage others to do it.
Yeah.
But it makes me think about that in the terms of leading as who you are means that it is okay to show vulnerability. It's okay to blow your trumpet, talk about what you're great
at. Yeah, yeah.
It's also okay to talk about what may not be going right for you right now, where you've got some challenges. That's not a failure. However, I will couch that in. We also know we've got colleagues who are working in environments that don't feel safe enough to do that.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think much as we talk about it, I also am very aware. We're here to support you to lead us who you are.
Absolutely.
And as you say, to coach and support our leaders. But also we're here to be real about the challenging environments that some of our colleagues are working in where it isn't safe enough and what you can do about that.
Yeah.
So kind of that balance, isn't it? Having your trusted advisors,
yeah,
but also recognising sometimes you've got to feel your way a little bit.
Yeah, you have. And it is interesting that, because I think also there's maybe a perception out there that if you're in a very senior position, whether you're an exec director of a trust or leading an organisation or working at a board level, we're still human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's 100%. Massive imposter syndrome that kicks in. There's feeling nervous and anxious. But you're absolutely right. You've got to have, who are my safe conversations?
Yeah.
Who can I go to help me through something that's challenging and difficult? Yeah. And if I think about myself, I've got tens of people because I know that I will get a different challenge and a different response from each one.
Yeah.
And I know that some are more averse in an area that I'm struggling with. So, you know, my advice is to absolutely seek them out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because they are your support network. They are your safe, trusted friends to talk about really difficult stuff, but also to share really exciting stuff at the same time.
Yes.
So, you know, it works both ways.
Yeah.
And then hopefully in time, you will reciprocate that.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be there for others and practice yourself being there for others. That's something that I'm very, very passionate about is actually sometimes when I do look at my diary and I call it Tetris, I do laugh about it and do colour code it as well because I'm a very organised person. But I think, how on earth can I squeeze another conversation in here? But there's a desire in me that says, but this person needs it. And I know that they're not just on a whim, keep saying, they need it.
Yeah.
So I feel a real sense of commitment and I want to be there because I know when others have been there for me, it really mattered.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is only 5-10 minutes, sometimes it's an hour.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so I think there is something about investing in each other as women and taking that time to truly listen. And I think that's really, really important because that then, if I also think back, it's helped me as a leader think about what's happening for me right now.
Yes.
It's something I started. So we're going through a really exciting journey across Proud to Be Ops. Mm-hmm. A lot of the work we do in Horizons and large scale change. And something I started last week, you know, I've been in senior roles for a while now, is I started a gratitude book, a journal. And every day I start my day thinking about, right, what's today going to bring? How am I going to frame myself? How do I feel this morning? What's going to energise me, I think, today? What am I looking forward to? And then I close my day by, okay, how did that day go? What have I got out of it? How did I feel? What gratitude did I give to others or recognising others? Because I know going on this exciting journey, it's busy.
Yes.
It's hectic.
Yeah.
And actually, how am I continuing to look after myself whilst being good enough to work to look after others and be there for others?
So important.
It's really important. And I know you and I that time were having a conversation as well and we're using the analogy of a car.
Yes.
And actually, you know, to keep a car going and it keeping running well, it's being efficient, you've got to check the oil. You've got to check the brake fluid. You know, it needs a regular service. Don't put the wrong fuel in it. If you do, you learn from it. It'll cost you a fortune, but you learn from it and you put things in place to try to mitigate happening again. But also don't let it run out of fuel because then you break down, you burn out, and you might blow up the engine. And if you get to that point, it's very expensive. think about yourself as a car in that respect.
Yeah.
You've got to look after yourself. Mm. And I think, again, I have had challenges as being a woman throughout my career, whether it's the line managers I've had, whether it's the dominated male environment I've worked in, or other. And actually, if I can give advice, it would be look after yourself more and better, and think about yourself as that car. You know, how do you keep your emissions low so you don't get charged every time you go into a borough at the moment? But things like that are really, really important. And I mean, and you must experience the same, Monique, you know, leading the work that you do across leadership development, many of the organisations and people that you support, starting a new venture. I mean, again, how have you taken care of yourself in that? And able to, to give out, to do the best for
swings
others.
And roundabouts, you know, having a tough talk from you sometimes. You know what I mean? No, it's on, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that support toolbox going to, I know for you, for my friend Tara as well, you're tough talking, but it's what I need sometimes. So, yeah, you can see what I'm trying to drive. My vision is big, right?
Very
That's
big.
The thing when you're a change agent, your vision is big. I want to build this movement of brave leaders globally.
Yeah.
But exactly what you said there, if the tank is empty, there's only so much you can do. I'm a very determined person, so I know that my determination carries me far.
Yeah.
But no matter how determined you are, if that tank is running on empty, you're dredging up the rubbish, aren't you, from the bottom? Yeah. And that's what happens. You think you're doing great work, but once you refuel, the work you're doing is even greater. Yeah. The impact you have is even greater. And sometimes you don't notice it until you stop and refuel. So this year, my word for this year is balance. You know,
nice.
I thought my word was going to be connect, right? And I kept thinking it was connect. I know that to really move on a global scale now, it's about connection. But it wasn't sitting right with me. Mm. Wasn't talking to what I'd written as my intentions for this year. And I kept coming, you know, when you're saying it, but you're not feeling it.
Yeah, I do.
And when
yeah.
I said balance, it really talked to me differently.
Yeah.
Really talked. So it really plays out with what you're saying. And, you know, my honesty, and I've spoken about it before, is I really gave my all and then some to my NHS career, especially when I was a director.
Yeah.
And I knew in myself, it's like what's happened with Jurgen Klopp now at Liverpool.
Yeah.
I knew I didn't have enough in the tank to go again.
Yeah.
I couldn't recalibrate myself for another year of push.
And that's your own self-awareness, but being brave enough to recognise it and admit it, which is not an easy thing to do, and it can take a lot of time.
My standards, one of my values is excellence. I strive for excellence.
Yeah.
And for me, as the leader, you know, as the senior, not saying that I can't get anything wrong, because excellence isn't perfectionism, it's different.
Mm.
It's that when I do something, I want to do it to a good and a great standard.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to support and serve people to a great standard. And if I knew there wasn't enough in the tank, I'd be doing a disservice.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. Mm. So career pathway wise, I knew I was thinking, what's the next step for me? That was coming. But I also know, you're too tired, you're weary here.
Yeah.
You know, you need some time. So I didn't know what this next chapter was.
Yeah.
Now I'm in it, what I see is it's challenge and stress in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think the challenge with this one is you're governing yourself 100%.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So even more important to have that discipline.
And the support network around you.
Even more important.
Yeah.
You haven't got the framework of the organisation there. You haven't. I'm my own CEO, right?
Yeah,
you haven't got a CEO who's going to call it and go, actually, do you know what? You haven't got that. So, and I think, and that's why it comes back to self, what we were saying, isn't it?
It's not,
it's not about putting pressure on yourself and thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to sort this all on my own.
Mm.
It's actually the reframe of that. It starts with self.
Yeah.
This is what I can do for myself. Mm. This is what I want to do for myself.
Yeah.
This is how I can choose to show up for myself. It's those elements of it. You mentioned something, though, as we're talking about investing women. You mentioned about when you was in your NHS career and sometimes feeling grateful if you were offered a programme or offered support. What's your view? Because I know that there's such a conversation going on now that I keep calling it out about when we're talking about development programs and development support for colleagues who are underrepresented, yes, whether that's by gender, whether that's by race, whether that's by any other protected, yeah, characteristic, I really want to challenge the thinking, because it can be perceived as people are lesser than. You need that support because you're lesser than.
Yeah.
You can't manage in this environment. And I say, no, it's not that. It's that the environment is not inclusive.
Mm.
The environment can be oppressive.
Yeah.
So actually, the development support is about maneuvering and delivering your best work in spaces that are not inclusive.
Yeah.
Where you may be minoritized. Mm. How do you prepare for that? So it's not to do with your technical capability. Mm. It's to do with the political awareness, to do with how that impacts you as self, where, yeah, you're constantly, mm, working against that. What's your thinking around it?
It is interesting. The way my thoughts on it are, and if I think about, in a region I worked in, it was across East Midlands and specifically across Nottinghamshire, and there was a national program initiative last year, and it was about supporting, offering kind of mentoring relationships, and it was particularly focused of colleagues from a BAME background and women. And I was really up for that, so I said I'd love to be a mentor for someone, and had a lady who was a GP, and it was fascinating really, because we did have some conversations about it, and it was conversations around, well, should there be targeted programs, mm-hmm, specifically for people from a BAME background? We're getting feedback that, why are we so special? Why should we have programs dedicated to self or other? And it was kind of like, but again, you said about you want to look for the bigger picture. People can be a bit narrow. And I don't think there's a real great, acceptance that people have different challenges, whether it's race, age, backgrounds, parts of the country you live in. And actually, you've got to acknowledge that you can't put everyone on the same level, because it's not fair. And therefore, when we are looking at programmes, I think we should be doing some targeted, personally, because I think if we don't and demonstrate our support and leadership in that, then we're not going to help someone's own self-belief.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we can demonstrate that we do care, that actually we recognise that this isn't right, and that actually we want to invest so that we... So a good example is, when you've got a population that you're working in, and let's say an NHS trust as an example, the majority in that who work in that trust do not represent those that live in that organisation. I'm sorry, but that NHS trust, and I'm calling it A,
mm-hmm,
could be NA,
mm-hmm,
surely that cannot effectively, consistently respond to its community that it serves in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe that, mm-hmm, can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because the diversity of that workforce, yes, is not representative, yes, of those within it. So therefore, if we're looking at leadership development, surely our leadership development also needs to be representative, and those involved in it, recruited to it, and encouraged. Now, if we have to do some targeted to strengthen that, that doesn't mean that those people are special or above anyone else. It's actually... No, there's inequality here. So actually, we need to improve equity of access. Mm-hmm. We need to encourage. So I think you can look at it in different ways. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we don't think that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think you can say the same about women in leadership, mm-hmm, as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was sharing with you, if I look back upon my career, I've had one woman that...
Mm-hmm.
As a line manager,
mm-hmm,
one woman,
mm-hmm,
I've worked across health and care for nearly 25 years,
yeah,
and one woman in all that time, and we both joined as deputy directors at the same time,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she got the director role on an interim basis because, yes, her male line manager was a director, went to support two other organisations, yeah, for a period of time. Now, what does that say?
Mm-hmm.
What does that say? Mm-hmm. And actually, I think, again, when I look back, why am I so passionate about supporting people in leadership, whether you're a woman, whether you're from a different background, is because I think diversity matters.
100%.
And I think that we shouldn't have all of the same doing the same things.
100%.
And you shared with me, didn't you? The NHS can be
misleading
in terms of it's a very largely women in workforce, but doesn't necessarily represent those in leadership role.
That's right.
Same from people, something we want to make a difference in Proud to Be Ops or operational managers and leaders. When you get to an agenda for change, a band aid, a senior level or mid-senior level, people from a BAME background or other
drop off.
Well, that's not right. And again, when I think about the diversity of our populations and who we're caring for, how can that be right?
That's right.
So we want to try and make a difference in that, because we want to understand, why will women not come forward? Why are we not progressing and developing people from BAME backgrounds and, you know, others with protected characteristics? Why not? So what can we do? Can we engage with you in a safe, supported way? And let's together find ways that we can break that down. Like, I love you want it on a global scale. You know, we want that the same across our workforce and professions.
Yeah, and I think with what you're sharing there, that's one side of the coin, isn't it? And what you're saying is actually those in power, the senior decision makers, it's our responsibility to understand our colleagues who are underrepresented and to be able to look at what is it we need to do differently because the talent is there, right? I always say that my story is I'm one of too few, because I had inclusive, supportive managers on most of my NHS career. So it wasn't just that I had talent. I had inclusive, supportive managers who'd recognised my talent and sponsored me informally, encouraged me to develop, encouraged me to go for higher roles. You know, you're ready, go for it.
Yeah.
But I'm one of too few. The talent is there. And if everyone had inclusive, supportive managers, what would we have here? We have a well-engaged, like you said, representative workforce serving their people.
Yes, correct.
Something you said there, though, and I think it's the work that we're partnering on, isn't it? About the leadership development work for the Proud to Be Ops network. And I bring that up because we've got leaders who are in the majority.
Yes.
We've got leaders in your network who are responsible for recruiting and developing talent. And actually, it's really important to work with those colleagues who may not be excluded. They may be in the majority. They look around them and everybody's like them, you know, and they're okay. Developing their brave, inclusive leadership capability is crucial.
Very, very crucial.
And I think that's the bit of the two bits together, isn't it?
Mm.
Yes, have targeted programs, understand your equity barriers and how you can remove them, but work with your leaders in the majority because they are the people who hold the employee experience day to day, week to week. And actually, it's the two elements together that I think unlocks the change. And senior people like yourselves who are saying, actually, let's stand up and look at this.
Yeah.
What is it? Let's hold a mirror up to ourselves.
Totally.
So as women.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're here, we're living, we're doing it.
Mm.
We've had our moments.
Yeah, we have had moments.
We've had our moments, but I think we would both say, when we were in working at executive level, we had equity of voice.
Yeah.
And I think, I know I demanded equity of voice. Yeah. I had the belief at that time to know that what I was saying added value.
Yes.
How I wanted to lead people was having an impact. So it gave me confidence. And I had my own belief about, I need to say this in this room. I'm in this room for a reason.
Yes.
And I'm not here to drop in line with everybody else and be a clone of everybody else. That's not why I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here to bring the difference.
Mm.
I'm here to bring a different lens. That was really scary to do that, to be the one who's always going, can I just challenge that?
Yeah.
I'm not assured on that. Have we thought about, I think we're missing out. Yeah. Constantly doing that, you know, it's frightening.
Takes a lot of courage to do that, a lot of courage. And I think you can have a belief in yourself and you can have that courage, but it will undoubtedly get wobbled at times. And it will undoubtedly then derail you. And I think, again, if you get derailed, what you're going to do, what's your support, how are you going to get your belief back to here instead of it's dropped a little. Yeah. It's okay if it drops, but have the mechanisms of how you cope with that. Make sure that they're there and ready, because, you know, myself being in a boardroom and with my exec colleagues, there's times where I have done that and it's not been received.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe how I would have preferred it to be received, but have taken that in a very negative response, when actually it's not. It's just that it's not landed the way you thought it were going to, but it still had an impact. But you've got to be able to process that and understand it and have a safe environment then to go and talk to those people about it.
Oh, yeah, the warm-up, right?
The warm-up
and the warm-down.
Exactly,
right?
And warm-up and warm-down is a really good point. Yeah, if you're going to go in with something, you know, if you're a prepared person, you read your exec papers and everything, right, I'm not going to bring that straight into the boardroom, the exec table. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a one-to-one conversation. I'm going to sound it out a bit
first. Absolutely.
And that's your warm-up.
Yeah.
And you're right. And that's how you build your trust and your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Have that conversation first. Then undoubtedly it'll allow you to project in the way that you think is going to be add value to the conversation that you're having.
Yeah.
And then the warm down.
Yeah.
Checking, is this what I heard is right? Is there anything else, you know, to discuss, have a conversation about? So I think that process that you do yourself is really important, really important.
And so in there, sharing our tips about, you know, having equity of voice, almost demanding equity of voice, isn't it? As a woman, it's not always going to be offered to you, so to take it, prepare yourself and take it. I would like us to finish up our conversation, though, on our message. What's the message that we'd like to give out? We were talking about, isn't it, women investing in women.
Yeah.
So almost are supporting other women.
Yeah.
You know, holding that ladder out, sharing space, like you were saying, creating safety. What is it we want to say there? Because I know for me, I absolutely hear from a lot of women who say, there's a woman at the table and she's not giving me the time of day at all. Like, the ladder's pulled right up. No one else is coming anywhere near this table because she's there. Now, my mind always goes to, that's insecurity playing out there.
Mm.
It's not your problem, but it's not you, it's them. It's the insecurity playing out. What's the message we want to give out there to women who may be in that space where they know they're not holding the ladder out and it might be because they're frightened?
I think my kind of approach to that would be to engage with that person and be curious and share a little bit around how you are experiencing being in the conversations, the space, and do it starting in a way that is, I want to improve and help our relationship grow. And I'd like to share how I find engaging with you, having conversations with you. And what I found is that you've got to take that step to listen, to learn, to understand, and then together try and find some ways to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you can fall into the vicious circle of perception. They don't like me. They don't want to work with me. They're just difficult, they're just challenging. And every time you go into a conversation with that person, that's your frame, because that's all you know.
Yeah.
And you've built this self-belief that might not be true, because for that person, what may be happening is something's a struggle at home. They may be finding it difficult with other members of the team that they're working in. They may actually be perceiving you in a light that you wasn't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And often these things, you just need to get to learn and understand, but you've got to be curious with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And my advice would be to approach it in a way that is, and what I've done, I want to help our relationship. I want to work well with you. Is there anything I'm doing that's not helping you, is unclear? Tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And then equally, I'd like to share with you if you're open and comfortable with that. So I think you've got to be brave enough to have that conversation. I recall a time I worked in an organisation. I was a deputy director at the time and I had a director. And I thought she hated me. I found every interaction with her really challenging. I felt like I wasn't in the room, I wasn't present, and that basically she didn't value me. And I found her communication and emails really blunt and very harsh. So I built this up over time. And I remember having a conversation with my coach and said, I'm finding this really difficult. And we decompressed it. We got into it. Okay, what was it? What is it? And I got to a point of saying, I just need to have a conversation with this person because I might be creating many things here that don't even exist. Because I've got myself into this frame. And I did. And I had that conversation. And half of the things I created just weren't true. She acknowledged that actually, if her email's an example, yes, they're short because I'm rushing. They're short because I'm giving you a quick response. I'm not into long trails. And actually, we came out of that with a way that we could communicate better with each other. We'd pick up the phone more. We'd avoid just that. And actually, we then, I recall 6 or 7 weeks later, we were having conversations about what we'd done at the weekend. And it dramatically improved. But for 4 or 5 months, I stewed on, this is a really negative relationship. And so I think my advice would be, talk to someone, decompress it. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Is it factual? And then start to think about, okay, so what am I going to do? Because you have to take self-control at a time. But you need help from others sometimes to do that.
I think it's so helpful.
And then you've got to be brave.
Well, it's so helpful you unpacking the top-level advice you've given. And unpacking it into action and giving an example of how that went for you. I think My message to the woman who may be on the other side of that, right? So the woman who may be feeling threatened by the brand new maverick. The woman who's moving and shaking, coming through the door. You know, most organisations at the moment need some disruption. Need some mavericks, need to look for a different lens. If we're talking about the NHS, the workforce platform is burning. You need someone different. You need something different. That's not to say it's not about knocking other people out. It's that we need some different energy. Please don't be frightened of that. You know, don't be frightened of that, because if it's someone in your team, your team's going to win. If it's someone in your directorate, they're going to help you solve one of those long-standing challenges that you've got. So embrace it. Everyone can win. There's space for everyone. And if you lack confidence because you think you've got nothing to offer, so when people approach you for mentoring, I know some people are resistant because they think, I haven't got anything to offer you. I'm kind of just trying to muddle through myself. Anyone at any level, me and you always say, share what you know.
Absolutely.
You never know what can unlock it for somebody else. Share what you know. Don't let your imposterism and make you put a barrier up. And make you be so elusive, you know, or you're so in your own head with what's going on for you, or you're feeling so challenged right now. Sometimes helping someone else, a kind word to someone else, gives you some energy, doesn't it? And it gives you back. So I just want to encourage women, like, supporting another woman, encouraging another woman, it has never, never, ever derailed my career, taken my shine, taken my credit, put me in a lesser place. It's been quite the opposite. It's so energizing to know that if you've given someone a kind word or a bit of advice, that that's helped them to unlock something. And, oh my gosh, I've been in the deepest, darkest problems. You know, oh my God, the platform is burning, this program is going to fail. And it's been someone coming in with some energy, looking
that's
at
it.
Different, that's unlocked it for us. So I just try not to let your own challenges sometimes stand in the face of that. Because before we ask anyone else to support us as women, Let's make sure we're investing and supporting each other first and foremost.
I agree with that. And I think something that, you know, I sometimes say is leave your baggage at the door. If you're turning up to something, leave it at the door.
Yeah.
Don't take it in with you. Because if you take it in with you, it will steer that conversation. Yeah. It will steer that discussion and steer your decisions. So leave it at the door. Do your utmost to leave your baggage at the door and go in with that open mind. And I think something you said there as well also struck me. We won't always get things right. Mm-hmm. Many leaders don't get things right, but so do many other people who work in a team, in a trust, in an organisation. But if you can learn from it, if you can learn from it and you can acknowledge it and actually think about, okay, what have we learned from it? So what are we going to do differently next time? That is so much more powerful than not learning from it, blaming and, you know, calling, well, it was that person's decision. Well, no, that's kind of not how it should be.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes and we all might make a wrong decision, but learn from it. Yeah. Learn from it and move forward. And I think you're right. There's many organisations that are challenged at the minute and sometimes it does need some radical thinking.
Yeah.
Because motivation and morale is so low.
Yeah, yeah.
And change doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing.
Yeah.
But again, if you don't leave your baggage at your door, change is a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you. So I think that takeaway, I feel like the final takeaway, what I just heard from you there is, for any women, any woman, for any women listening who are feeling, I'm different.
Yeah.
I know I'm different. I show up different to what I see around me. My ideas are different. My approach is different. My leadership is different. I hope you take from this conversation the encouragement to lead and show up as who you are.
100%.
You know? But if the space that you're doing that in isn't welcoming it, then remember you also have the opportunity to look around and see where you can add that best value. But please, I think, lead and show up as who you are. That investment in yourself, that investment in your leadership.
Yeah.
Don't hide that and don't mask that. Because I think your difference, you know, your dynamism is very much needed.
I definitely, 100%. And also, if you think about the diversity, if I think about a team, the team is high performing because you've got diversity of skills.
Yes.
Of experience, of perceptions, of beliefs. That's what makes a high-performing team. If I had 10 of me, it would be a disaster. That would not be a high-performing team.
Yeah.
So I think you're absolutely right. And you say this all the time, Monique, back yourself.
Yeah.
I think difference is good.
Yes.
And when I look back, I probably wouldn't have said that then, but because I'm unconsciously being different and conscious, but difference is good.
Yeah.
And it's that makes the magic.
Mm-hmm.
The difference makes the magic, and embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't shame it, don't blame it, don't name it, but in a way, embrace it.
Yeah.
Because that is where the real magic does happen. And give people that platform and space. And as a woman, do that to your fellow women out there, and equally do it to others around you, because you will undoubtedly need them at some point. So that's great advice. And
I think that's a really good place to leave our conversation today. Thank you, Emma.
Thank you as well for sharing. I really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you.